Make this, read this verse. It's Jeremiah 9, chapter 9, verse 20. And this has been really kind of just one of those odd little verses that's just kind of hanging around with me for a little while now. And it just seems to give me a little bit of dread. And it says, "The harvest is past and summer is ended, and we are not saved." And I've read front of it, behind it. It's kind of a rough time and period of Jerusalem where this takes place, where this is happening. Jeremiah's, he's been getting on to everybody for backsliding. And of course, another one that I think is really significant in chapter 8 is, did I say 9? It was chapter 8, verse 20. In chapter 8, there's another one where the Lord, you know, they're talking about how bad everybody's doing. And why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by perpetual backsliding? They hold fast a seat. They refuse to return. I mean, that's, you know, it's a bad time in Jerusalem. But that one verse, Jeremiah 8 and 20, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." To me, that's just a sort of a chilling thing. And it's sort of an idea that has been really prevalent with me. And I guess the title of this message today, or this thing today, is going to be called, "God is Calling You Out." Now I'd like to go real quickly to Revelations chapter 18, verse 4 and 5. This is John and relaying what he's seen in Revelations. And these two verses. "And I heard another voice from heaven say," now this is on into some of the end times a pretty good ways, but it's getting ready to get really, really bad right after this. But it says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached into heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities." And he's talking about Babylon, the city of Babylon, in the final days. And there's a lot of speculation as to what that may or may not be. The church, the establishments of the church, religion, you know, different things. All I know is this, that there's going to be some of God's people in it. And he's going to give them a last chance to come out. And he's going to tell them that you need to come out or you're going to get what they're going to get, their plagues and stuff. And it's just like in the days of Noah too. You know, they was told, weren't they? They were told. Noah preached for 100 or so years roughly that it took to build the ark. He was preaching. It's going to end. It's going to stop. It's going to be destroyed. You've got a chance. They laughed. They turned away. They scorned. And then one day it happened. So I think God is calling us out. Now I want to jump to Matthew 24, chapter 24. I'm going to start with verse 4 and I'm going to read all the way through 51. It's going to be some quick moving verses because it's just that whole chapter. The reason I started here is because Jesus is talking about the end times. Right? Some of his disciples, they just come out of the temple and they're all like, "Hey, check out the temple. Looks great," and all that sort of thing. And Jesus was like, "Well, one of these days, not a brick's going to stand on top of the other," in some really bad paraphrasing. But and then they went on up to the Mount of Olives and Jesus was talking to them because they asked about the sign of his coming back at the end of times. It says, "As Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, that ye be not troubled. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet." It means it still ain't here. It's still more to come. "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences." Pestilences, by definitions, are typically associated with diseases that spread rapidly and cannot be cured, that are very resilient. "Pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. The earth is going to be shook to its very foundations one of these days. All these are what? The beginning of sorrows. Not the end, not the middle. He's saying, pay attention, take heed. This is just the beginning. Then, after these things start happening, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Jesus' name's sake. Somebody's going to get killed for Jesus' name's sake. Now, we've had that happen before in our history. A lot of people have been killed. A lot of people have been hated. A lot of people have suffered. But I got a feeling it's not the end of them. It's not the last one. It's not going to be the only one we see that happen to. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Here's a little note to remember, though. I've got it marked as a little more of the promise stuck in with some of the promise of doom. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Let me tell you, it's only the one that endures to the end that's going to be saved. And I wouldn't change that, but I mean, I'm saying when you hear that, you better not just hear, but if you make it, you make it. No, only those that make it to the end are going to make it, but you can make it. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Go sit down by Mama. I'd say we're pretty close to having the gospel spread through all the nations, haven't we? Bible's been translated into every known language. You know, that's something that they've advertised for years. Missions have scattered abroad. You know, they claim now that no tribe anywhere on this planet has not been reached. So, seems like we've met some criteria here that puts us in a potential window. Next he says, when you therefore, at that point, shall see the abomination of desolation, which is spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. And they interject here, whosoever readeth, let him understand, because it's kind of an important thing. Pay attention, take heed. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. What does that sound like? Better get up and go. You better go right then. Two things come to mind for me. A, you better be able to recognize what's happening so you can see it and accept it. And B, when you do see it, you better go. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. It tells you don't come down to get nothing else. Don't come in from the field. Shuck it. Leave it. Chunk it. Go. Now, it's going to be rough. Now, this is where, you know, I was talking with Sam, with somebody, where Jesus, you know, has said before that even he knows not the hour. All right. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. Now, this is going to kind of allude to him knowing not when it happens. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. You know, he don't know if it's going to be in the winter. All he knows, God's going to say, let's do it, and he's going to be the one to come do it. But he's given us signs and he's given us things that we can look for. But he tells you, you know, you just better hope it ain't in the wintertime. Neither on the Sabbath day. You better hope that you're not pregnant and got small children. It's a bad time. It's going to be a horrible time. The worst ever known in mankind's history. And we've known some bad stuff. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. Guess what? It flooded the world once before. Destroyed every living thing that wasn't in the ark. That's pretty bad. I don't know about you, but I read about the 10 plagues of Egypt's time. Those things were pretty bad. look at our own history. That I'm saying our, what we call our, what, current history, last 100 years, 200 years, last 20 years. We have mudslides that wipe whole villages off the face of the earth, kill tens and twenties of thousands of people. I didn't hear that. Well, it's in the news. It's about something happening halfway around the planet. We don't care as Americans. And I say, speak in general terms, we don't care because I'm worried about my gas bill, my electric bill, my water bill, getting my kids to band practice. What am I going to do about, you know, groceries? That's my problems. But my problem is bigger than that. And I need to get my problems sorted out. How am I going to do that? Priorities. I need to get prioritized. And I think God's calling us out. He's calling us out of our little clutter. He's calling us out of the little things. And He's saying it's coming time. It's coming a time when the ark is going to be built. The animals are all on the boat. The food is all inside. Come inside. Noah, come on. Come in. He invited Noah in. He called him in. He didn't say, go get an ark. Noah didn't say, well, I guess we're ready. Let's go. He closed the door. He invited Noah in. He closed the door. Now, we talked about that a little bit more this morning. Why do you think God closed the door? Why do you think God invited Noah in? Well, He told him about everything. He invited him into it. It's like a covenant, wasn't it? We're in covenant. He's wanting us, come unto me, all you weak, weary, laden, yeah, heavy. Got burdens. You need rest. Come. He invites us. He closed the door so Noah couldn't open it, right? If Noah closed the door, Noah could open it. And it don't say it, but I kind of figured that Noah maybe had some brothers and sisters. I kind of figured Noah had nieces and nephews. Noah probably, it don't say it, but probably had other kids, which means grandkids, family. God says, Samantha, going in the ark. Close it up. Samantha goes in the ark and closes it up. Jesse wasn't in the ark. She comes running up. Because let me tell you something. When the water started coming around, people started coming around. Funny thing about how we are like that. Things go bad. We need a miracle. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come and help me. I'm sorry. Bunch of people, good time Christians. I've been a good time Christian. I'm guilty of that. The world's guilty of it. I got a feeling there was a lot of believers all of a sudden real quick. Oh, he said going to rain? It's raining. Ark's closed up. It's raining. It's still raining. Earth shook. Now, I'm not talking about it. I'm one of those people that believe that more water probably come from inside the earth than down. But, I mean, that's just my personal. And I don't want to say anything to offend anybody. But I think, for lack of a better term, all Hades broke loose. It was violent. The earth shook. The crust cracked. Water surged. Oceans' levels of waters blew to the surface. It was violent. It was horrific. You know, a canopy of water, you know, like around us, you know, began to fall and stuff. I think it was just horrific. And there was a brief period where somebody was beating on that ark wanting in. And if Sam had opened the door and closed it, she could open it, right? I don't know that I could say, no, that's my baby out there, Jesus. You had a chance. 100 years I told you. No, go away. Can't do it. I'm human. I'm going to be trying to open the door to let my baby in. I'm going to try to open the door to let my friends in. Noah didn't have a chance. God is all mercy, all loving, all business, all vengeance. You say it how you want to. One time or another, He's going to be one of these things all 100%. And He's got a lot of vengeance. What's the vengeance for? Well, the blood of the saints cry out to Him from the dirt, the earth, for vengeance. He says, it's not yours, it's mine, and I will take it. I'm a God who tells you, and I'm a God who does it. I don't lie. And it's in my time, but you know it's coming. And it's final. And it's more than you could ever imagine. So what did He say? Hell yeah, just mix up with the people out there. That's okay. Dilute yourselves. He said all that, right? No, He didn't. He told us exactly the opposite. Separate yourselves. Pull yourselves out. You are mine. Call yourself by my name. You are mine. You're mine. What? What does that mean? Well, A, you're going to love Him and keep His commandments and follow His statutes, guidelines, rules, regulations, whatever you want to call it. If you don't, are you His? There's a lot of things about the Bible. And we're learning. We're looking. You know, and to me, I think the search for truth should be a search for truth. Not a biased, blinded, blinders on. Well, I'm comfortable with this because I like to go to the ball games on Saturday. And I, you know, that may be fine. Now, you people with that whole seventh day thing, it's great. But, you know, I'm okay with that. Whatever. It's your choice. I can go out here and get a stick out of my truck if I've got one in there and go whack somebody on the head if I want to. My choice. What happens, though, when you make a choice and do something? You choose the consequences. You choose the reactions. It's all about free choice. From the very man's relationship with God, the imperative, impeccable, most important part is choice. Will. Freedom to choose. He wants to be with us in a communion, in a loving relationship, in a two-way relationship. He wants that. That was our purpose. Not just to serve Him, to love Him, to be part of Him, to be with Him, to do a job, but all these things. We've really mucked it up. You know, it's just like water and nice and neat. Well, let's just stir it up. There's a little mud, muddy, muck it up. Okay, yeah, now that's what we've done to it. One of these days you come over and you're going to filter it all back out and something may go right again. But it's happening. The ark door is going to close one of these days. Of course, this whole chapter is I don't know, it goes on to tell you a lot about, you know, and the next verse, 22, and except those days should be shortened. And again, we're referring to how bad it's going to be. There should be no flesh saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. King James Version, you know, that's bad. God's telling you, you know, if it wasn't, I'm telling all about everybody living there, if it wasn't for mine, the cream of the crop, their sake, you would all die. I want to be in that elect's sake. You know, I tell you what, I had this thing, we got into a discussion at work, and I don't know, it's probably half a dozen of us now at work that are, you know, more open-minded than maybe we were in the last couple of years. But we're discussing a lot of end-time things, you know, looking and seeing signs, and, you know, and believe it or not, the economic thing crashing and the government jumping in to help bail out, that's kind of sort of me like a flag saying, hey, one of these days the government might own all your stuff. You just don't know it, and they may call the dead end on you. But, you know, I don't want to be an alarmist, that sort of thing. Jesus is coming, by the way. And, you know, you better be ready. Not that I'm trying to wave any flags or be an alarmist. Jesus is coming. You know, it's raining. We build an ark, that sort of thing. But I don't want to scare nobody or nothing like that. And I think that's what we need to be doing. What? Build an ark? Well, God tells you to build an ark, you better build an ark. But Jesus commissioned us all to tell everybody about the way, right? The way. Hey, they referred to it in the New Testament as the way. Well, you know, I've come to understand that at a new level, which is even more simpler than ever before, the way. You know, there's only one way, right? Through Jesus, by His blood, the way. But it's the way for anybody, for everybody. It's raining. Animals are coming. Ark's getting finished. That's where we're at today, I believe. We're going to jump over from here to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Samuel, stand up and read this real loud. Think you can put that out there? No, I tell you what. Before that, let's go back to Matthew. There was in Matthew 25 something else I did want to put out. Matthew 25, and we'll jump to verse 31. 25:31. All right, ready? Matthew 25, verse 31. Now, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, not mine, His, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. Hold on, Sam. Okay, now I want you to read 32 through 34 loud and clear.
And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep
from his sheep from the goats. Go ahead.
And He shall set the sheep on the right hand.
On His right hand.
The goats on the left.
Sheep on the right, goats on the left. 34, loud and clear.
Then shall the king say unto Him, on His right hand,
the sheep,
come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.
All right, now he'll say a few more things here, you know, about I was hungry, you fed me, and we're going to jump down to read, and pretty much that's just kind of, he's pulling them aside, I was hungry, you know, you fed me and stuff. And then he goes and moves them off to their blessing and stuff. Now he goes down to 41. He's going to deal with the goats on the left. All right, go ahead and tell us what about 41. Loud and clear, Sam. Jesse, loud and clear. Stand up loud and clear. Just the 41. 41 and then 46, actually. Yes, 41, then jump to 46.
Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand,
the goats,
yet ye cursed into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life eternal.
That's right. Now, again, I jumped past I was hungry and you didn't feed me, that sort of thing. But the point is, you know, this leads up. Jesus' own words, by the way, in these things I was reading Matthew, telling about the end times. There's coming a time where He's coming back. It's going to be a horrible time leading up to it. It's going to be some of the worst things on earth. You know, it even makes reference, says, in the days of Noah was. It was so bad in Noah's day, God destroyed the planet. I mean, well, all living habitants on the planet except for those in the ark. You know, we're bad. Look at us. Watch TV sometimes. Flip through the channels. And I don't mean late at night. I mean just any time during the day. Look at some of the kids' cartoons, the violence, the sexual innuendo. It's just, they're being beat. You know, look at your kids' and grandkids' textbooks from school. They start beating the Bible in the ground from the first day in school. I don't particularly believe in evolution. I don't offend you if you do, but God done it in 7 days, I think, because that's what this textbook says. How can you believe in God at all and tout this as your life book, the instruction manual, the rule guide, whatever you want to call it? How can you believe in any of it if you can't believe all of it? How can you pick and choose? And the world is doing that. Eight people made it on the ark. There's all kind of speculation, you know, by the ones that will say, well, maybe there was an ark and thing. But if there wasn't, you know, if there was, maybe there was only like a million people on the whole planet. Let me tell you, the way they was popping kids out and it sounded like, and they went from Adam to Noah, I believe it was as covered as much as it was then. I've seen a number of studies where, I mean, you're based on a certain type of rate of childbearing, and believe me, before the flood, they were more superhuman than we are. Yeah, it could have been a lot more kids. I mean, they was a lot healthier and stuff. But I don't doubt that the world wasn't as populated as it is now, to the point where something had to happen, overpopulated, if you want to call it that. But point of it is, I don't care if it's a million or a billion or 7 billion, 8 people made it is all. So if you think the Lord won't destroy a whole planet full of people for 8 people, you ain't reading the same book I am. I don't understand everything, but I can tell you, I don't get that out of it. You know, it wasn't going to, you know, it come down to 10 people, Sodom and Gomorrah, right? For 10's sake. Abraham kept back, oh Lord, I don't want to make you mad, but you know, say down to 10. Finally, okay, 10's sake. 10 people couldn't be found that was worthy, could they? And you know what? He's calling us out. And it don't matter if it's your workplace, it don't matter if it's your neighborhood, it don't matter if it's your school, your friends. That is telling. I've been getting it here lately. Like Daddy always says, get your priorities straight, boy. By the time we get our priorities straight. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It's been a rough week. And I'm like everybody else. You know, you have problems with your family, you have problems with your friends. But let me tell you something. I believe Noah had family members that didn't get on that boat. Brother Durwood once said he had a dream. Or his father had a dream. And in this, Brother Carl said only one of his children in that dream was going to go to heaven. And he said it bothered him for a long time because he was, you know, worried about his brother and his sister and stuff. He said, but I'm going to be honest with you. I want to be that one. I want to be that one. I love my brother and I love my sister. I love my family. I love my wife. I love my children. But I tell you what I want to be like. I want to be like Stephen, laying on the stones as he was being stoned. What was he doing? He was glorifying the Lord. He was forgiving the ones that was stoning him. And he was empowered. You know what? I think about this. Why be a Christian in fear, right? The early church, was they in fear? They were until the day of Pentecost. Well, not fear, they were just, you know, doubt, confusion. But once the Pentecost came, Peter. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I'm your man, y'all. Come on, I ain't never going to leave you. Jesus rebuked him, didn't he? Why? He told him, get thee back. You know, son, you're going to deny me 3 times this night before the chicken crows, cock crows in the morning. Oh, yeah. But I just said I was going to die for you. I'd follow you anywhere. I'd be tortured. How many times as Christians do we do that? Lord, you just call, I'll go. You just beckon. I got you back, everybody. Peter wanted to die, didn't he? He ran off ashamed and hurt, horrified, just destroyed at what he had done. And here's a man who was next to Jesus, had seen the miracles. He didn't just see them, he was part of them, wasn't he? He got to walk on water at Jesus' beckoning. That close to that power. So tell me that me and you who haven't physically seen that, that's why he says later on that, you know, how much greater those that have, you know, believe and haven't seen it. That means we can be greater. He told us we could do these things. Well, it's time that we start looking at maybe trying to do these things. It's time we start being like the early church. What did the early church do? They didn't live in fear. They didn't live in doubt. They stepped out, stepped up, took charge. You know, a lot of people have stuff missing in their lives. And I go through this too. Just not satisfied at work or home thing. Don't seem to be going right. Listen, life is. It happens. Trials are going to come. Temptation is going to come. Trouble is going to come. Guess what? We're sword. How do you test sword? You build it in the fire. It's tested in the heat of battle. Are we going to be any different? Jesus was tortured and beat to death. And he says, are you greater than I? Now you know what I'm talking about? Where he's telling them, these things are going to happen to you too. For my name's sake, these things are going to happen. One of these days, it's going to get bad. You're going to be tried and tested. Some of you are going to die. Some of you are going to be martyred. Some of you, you know. Pay what did Peter say after he got the Spirit in him later? Paul, the whole theme? Oh, that I could be beat for my Savior. And I'm paraphrasing again really grossly. Whip me for my Savior. Beat me for my Savior. The power of that connection. I look around and stuff, and I don't see that in the churches nowadays. And you know, I'm speaking again as churches across the nation. And in fact, it makes me feel bad. Ashamed. I don't know. This church. But, you know, we're doing a good work. We could do more and we could do better. You know what? I've come to understand that, you know, there's really only one moment in our life. And I've said this before. It's the moment right here, right now. Everything before is done. It can't be changed. Everything ahead is no promise of. And this is the moment we have to live in, right here, right now. You know, use the grandmother rule. Would you say it if your grandmother was in the room? Would you do that if your mom was standing right there? Yeah, those are good things to live by. We don't live by that anymore. Our values as a society have gotten corrupted. Religion has become apostate and full of just delusion and stuff. These things that Jeremiah warned about 500 or 600 years before Jesus ever came, he was warning them about customs of old in his time that we've incorporated into our religion. I'm talking about the church. We can't fight that. We can't fight anything. It's time to do something. Time to get ready. The world is full of need. People need. That's why there's problems with marriages, problems with drugs, alcohol. People need something. What do they need? The way. They need somebody to show them the way. And as a Christian, that is our most base, prime, simplest. How better can you say that? When it all boils down to the one job that we have to do, what'd he say do? Tell them. Show them. What? The way. The good news. There's good news. Is it good news? I lose track of the good news. The good news is I'm not going to burn in hell forever. The good news is I didn't do anything and couldn't do anything to deserve anything but burning forever. But the price has been paid, willingly done so, for me, for free. Come into the ark. It's ready. We have to choose. All right, now, real quick, fly through this. Sin, what? Basic bottom line stuff, you know, it's sin is a transgression of law, right? Transgression of law, all right, well, what? So, okay, there's God, He's at large, He's in charge. He's coming back, He's going to cause, you know, Jesus, He give Him all the power and authority, and Jesus is going to come back one of these days, and He's going to set things right, and He's going to judge everybody. He's going to separate sheep and the goat. Are you going to be a sheep on the right, or you're going to be a goat on the left? Well, by what basis are you going to be judged? By what basis are you judged in any land, in anything, in any, you know, driver's license. You take a test. Well, before you took the test, hopefully you practiced and you studied the book. The book, what do you mean? Yeah, the rule book, the guidelines. Guess what? Jesus is give us some rule books and some guidelines. It ain't like, well, I didn't know that. You mean that? Is that what that meant? Ain't going to be like that, is it? You think it is, Sam? You think Jesus going, all right, Sam, go ahead, let me hear your side. Jesse, you think he's going to say, well, before I make a decision that's going to affect you forever, what do you got to say about it? Do you think he's going to do that? No. You know what's going to happen? Where are your knees going to be? Right here. Where's your head going to be? Right here. You're going to know. He's going to know. It's all open. There's nothing hidden. All the secret stuff like David prayed about inside. Cleanse me of that. Forgive me of that. You better make sure you remember to ask the Lord to get rid of that too. Because no sin's going to enter in. If it died way down deep in there that you forgot about it. That wouldn't be. You better get it out. So, the rule book. What are rules? First, okay, no sin's going to enter in. What's sin? Transgression of the law, right? More or less, you break a law. And laws are different. There's laws, there's statutes, there's guidelines. There's things we can do and we're going to the penitentiary for a long time. There's things we can do and we get executed for in our society. There's things that we can do and we just get a slap on the wrist, a ticket, a fine. And it's kind of laws, statutes, or just a whole bunch of different things. And there are some basic things that everybody's going to be held accountable to. And there are some things that I think as you get on down the line, as you know, you're going to be held accountable for the more you know and that sort of thing. But I want to read some of these real quick. Sam, go to Ephesians 4, 11 through 15. Here, let me read these. I'll go ahead and read them real quick. Oh, now, wait a minute. This is leading into the thing, the promise it says. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Now, this is kind of what his purpose of doing this stuff was. Excuse me. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It says, Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, into the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ. Now that's what we were commissioned basically to try to become and to do. A continual thing, if you will. And it said in chapter, jump on down to 23 or 22, some of the things he also tells us to do that you put off concerning the formal conversation of the old man. We're supposed to get rid of the old, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. 24, that you put on the new man, which is after God in creating righteousness and true holiness. All right, so, there's some things that you can't say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. And He'll forgive you. Sincerely, earnestly, you do that sinner's prayer. But then you have to do. You have to go forward. Well, let's go to John, just regular John, 8. John 8, 34. And we'll read through 36 real quick. Now, this is talking about Jesus, or Jesus is talking about whose servant you are, right? And we understand sheep, goats, you're going to be divided. There's a right and a wrong. We're going to be separated. We're going to be judged. Whose servant are you? Mark, we already said he's calling us out. Calling us to be separate, to be different, to not be corrupted by the world's ways. Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." There's the way again, maybe. So guess what? You know, if you're in sin, you're not going to get in. You're a servant of sin. But there is a way, the way. And that's through Jesus. And we have, that's part of our commission to get that out there. Romans 10. Let's jump to Romans 10. And you have to forgive me, my Bible's about to fall apart from just the pages are coming out. So it takes me a little bit. Romans 10. We're going to go 8 through 13. Okay. But what saith it? Now, he's asking some questions here ahead of that. And actually, there are quite a few topics that kind of get hit on ahead of that. Kind of talking about righteousness by faith in Jesus Christ. Go to 6 then. That'll tie that in with it. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. That's kind of, you know, confusing, I guess, just reading part of this. But we're going to take off from there. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Two parts, simple. Here's the way again, right? We're talking about the way that involves Jesus. I believe it and I confess it. There's the way. How simple is that? Real simple, isn't it? John again, John 3. It's just a simple message we've got to get out there. Now, of course, that gets us in the door, but getting in the door is not all that counts, is it? I got a feeling even once they got in the ark, there still was some work involved in there. Had a lot of animals to take care of. They was in there for, what, about a year, a little over a year or something, roughly? John 3. That's a few good verses in here, isn't it? How about let's start at 16 and do 16, 17. That's a good little combination, isn't it? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. That's the way. The way we need to be telling people about. Now, we'll jump down a couple of verses before close. Sam, I want you to read Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20 loud and clear. Sam. Get it right here. Loud and clear.
The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved.
Now again, I'm not meaning to take this out of context for how it was used here. You know, there was a little point that this was pointing to. But I'm telling you this. This is where the world's at. I firmly believe this. The Lord has put on me too much. This is where we're at. As a world. I'm not saying, you know, our church, we're not saved. I'm saying the world we're in, that we are here to help try to save people from. You know, it's not like the Titanic sinking and I go run, jump in a boat, got my whole pile of life jackets and I'm stroking. Ooh? Ooh? Y'all better swim fast. I got the life jackets over here. Is that what we're supposed to be doing? I'm saved. I'm worried about me. I'm saved. Yeah, we got to worry about ourselves because we got to seek your own salvation through much what? Prayer and fasting. Earnestly. Vigilantly. Now, that's a whole lot of other words that go with that whole idea. But, you know, what did Jesus say? Tell them the way. Stephen, was he stoned because he just believed in Jesus Christ? He said, I don't know. I believe in Jesus Christ. They just grabbed him out and stoned him? No. Somebody go read about Stephen. It said the Spirit come up on Stephen and he preached. And I'm telling you, when I read it, I got to, you know, now I'm thinking maybe he was preaching some fire. Because it sounded like he was preaching a pretty good time. You know, he went out publicly, openly, challenging everybody. The Pharisees and Sadducees, the scribes. And he was throwing it at them. They drug him off for, you know, this little mock trial thing. Spirit came on him again. He's telling them all about Moses. And he's telling them about everybody from old. He didn't back down, did he? They drug him out there and stoned him. He was lying out there dying. He still wasn't backing down. Peter. What was Peter doing for what, the last 40 plus years of his life? Paul, longer than that maybe. I think he lived actually a little bit longer, but what was he doing? Sitting around and, you know, Jesus, we love Jesus, don't we? We all get together and have a little celebration. Celebration. And again, look at the world. Look at the church. Are we the wise virgins or the foolish virgins? They all met the qualifications to be a bride, didn't they? They just all wasn't prepared, wasn't watching. Who are we? Are we going to be watching? Are we going to be prepared? The world is here. Sam, read out loud. Jesse, how about you? Loud. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 17 and 18. And then we're going to go ahead and go into from there. Let's go ahead and throw in chapter 7, verse 1. We'll just kind of roll it over. Well, just read 17, 18. Loudly. Stand up. Announce yourself. Pronounce yourself. We read 17, chapter 7 and verse 1.
After these things, Jesus walked in
Galilee. Yeah. Is that? No, right there. Check. There you go.
Having broken with the promises dearly loved, us from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Perfect us in holiness in the fear of God.
Okay, now these verses, to me, and again, I think part of the world's problem is people will take something out of context. I mean, it's maybe I'm going out on a limb when I say maybe they do that to me. It looks like that's what a lot of them have done. I don't want to be accused of that, and I don't want to build doctrine around an out-of-context verse or something. But I think there are jewels planted all throughout the Bible that when pulled out, you don't build a whole faith and religion around them, but it's the song, a proverb, Psalms. It's like the treasure. It's a treasure chest, you know. Altogether, it's one big treasure, but there's individual jewels in there. Jewels that are pretty, you know, jewels that give us motivation, jewels that give us inspiration. These last three verses are jewels to me because they're important. They clearly state an idea that I think that we need to be living a certain way. We need to come out. We need to be separate. We need to cleanse ourselves. We need to pray for cleansing. Pray for purification. Pray for whatever it takes. If I need a whipping, give me a whipping, Lord. You know, that's really a bad thing sometimes to say, but, you know, it actually says we should be thankful and glad that the Lord, when He gives us reproach, because it's for our sake. But I say, we look around today and see a lot of empty seats. And sometimes it's heavy on my heart. And I think how nice it would be that, you know, we could have big attendance. But I've been to some of these bigger churches. And I don't like saying this, but I didn't feel the Lord's Spirit there. I didn't see. Well, I don't want to sound judgmental. It wasn't a place for me. I was actually uncomfortable, to tell you the truth. And, you know, I thank the Lord that He would give me that feeling to let me know this ain't right for you. Now, I'm not going to say, you know, I try to be careful when because I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to, you know, go somewhere and say, well, okay, because, you know, it's our own salvation thing again. But I'll be honest. I've thought about taking the kids to other churches, still going to church on Saturday because that's my belief and that's what I believe and that's what I know. And I don't see any indication. I don't even begin to see an indication of anything else. I mean, I can maybe understand why things are the way they are. You know, history teaches us that if you're willing to look. It's historical information. Look it up. You know, but we can get around more kids, you know, and more social stuff. But I'll tell you this, as soon as that idea popped in my head, it was like a nasty taste I had to spit out. And I thank the Lord for that. You know, that's defiling. Don't bring this. Don't mix it up. Separate, you know, the sheep, the goats. Keep them separated. They're going to be separated. And, you know, I'm guilty of doing stuff that I shouldn't have done. Don't think any less of me, but I've probably done worse than that, too, that I'm not going to tell you about. But here's the thing. Lord, forgive me of that. And He threw it in the sea of forgetfulness. So if you want to hang on to it, hang on to it. I'm not going to, and He doesn't. And one of these days He may have a whooping for me for something else. You know, we're all accountable. And that's the one thing I try to remind other people. You make a choice. You pick the punishment. You pick the crime. The Lord will forgive you and He won't hold it against you, but He'll make you pay for it. I mean, we're going to die one of these days because sin was brought into the world. We're physical. That's just bottom line. That's one thing right there. Ain't never going to get away unless you get raptured. And that's doctrinal that I ain't even going to get into with you. If you believe it, you believe it. If you don't, you don't. But point is, I go out here and I shoot a man, kill him. I've taken his life. I'm going to be held accountable. I can go to prison for the rest of my natural born life and find Jesus in prison, him find me, and I can do works for him there, and he can turn it around. He can put me in that place that, well, he didn't put me there, I put myself there. But he can make good come out of it. But the fact is, I still got to go and I still got to pay. Too many people want to think that, you know, Christian credit card. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Good. No limit. Watch out. Just swipe that thing. And it's getting us in trouble as a religion. It's getting us in, you know, I'm talking not just us. I'm talking about all of Christianity, all of Christ believers. Because it says we're all brethren, doesn't it? Supposed to be especially good. I mean, be good one to another and all that, especially to those of the brotherhood. Let's not forget that. So, I don't know. Let's do something. Let's find something to do. Because there's strength in numbers. If it's not but two of us, then two stronger than one. But let's do something. All right. So just God's calling us out. Sorry for taking so much of your time.